The word today is Thomas. Welcome to The Word Today with pastor and Bible teacher Paul Schrader. In the book of John, we're told that Thomas did not believe Jesus had risen from the dead. But Jesus appeared to him and brought him back to faith. Here to review this story for us is Pastor Paul Schrader on The Word Today, Thomas.
One of the greatest joys that we as Christians have is that our Savior Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Of course, as Christians, we call that Easter, the resurrection of our Lord. We all know that Holy Week is the most solemn week, and I'm sure the season of Lent is familiar to every Christian all over the world. And at the end of that week, Jesus Christ rose from the dead and came and showed himself to the disciples in many different ways and to many different people. Sometimes crowds as large as 500 people came to see him. And so the Easter morning resurrection is one of the major themes of the Christian church, because we know we too will not be held captive by death. Everyone's going to die except those that are here right at the moment when Christ returns. Their bodies will immediately be transformed into their glorious body. But those of us that have died before that time will have been resurrected on that day. That's called Judgment Day. And so I would like to think about that as the goal of every Christian, that we will be with Christ in heaven eternally. That's our goal. That's our heavenly home. Now, one of the problems that happens within the Christian church is that you have something called doubt. Take, for instance, a look at the 20th chapter of John. And just read through the entire 20th chapter of John, and you will see that the disciples were all a little doubtful. They didn't know exactly what was going to happen, and they were quite fearful. And in fact, they were so afraid that they would sometimes meet behind closed doors, it says, because they thought, well, the people that had come and taken Jesus and crucified him would probably very soon decide to come and get his disciples. And so they were trying to hide. And yet they were meeting, thank goodness, and they were probably praying and discussing what should be done. And one time when they were meeting, Jesus came and appeared to them after he had risen from the dead and showed himself to them. And they were so excited and so thrilled. Thomas had not met with them. And as a result, when Thomas showed up, they told him, "We have seen Jesus. He is alive. He is risen from the dead." And Thomas, of course, we call him the doubting Thomas. Thomas doubted it, and he said, "Unless I see the nail prints in his hands and see that slit in his side where they pierced him with the sword, I will not believe it." Well, doubting Thomas. Now, I want to make it clear that probably most Christians, maybe every Christian at one point or another, has a doubt or two or three. You know, I'm not trying to limit the number of doubts, but the point is that doubting is not the same as unbelief. Basically, it probably is, in the sense that if your doubt continues and grows, and the only way it would do that is if you begin to enjoy your doubt. Maybe you think you're intellectually brilliant or something, and you begin to tell people how you doubt this and you doubt that. You're more argumentative and you're more anxious to show how you can think. And so you entertain your doubt, so to speak, instead of dealing with it properly. And you try to get in discussions to show your debate ability and things like that. Well, of course, then your doubt is going to grow. And it's just like sin. Sin always grows until you repent. Same way with doubts. If you entertain your doubt and are smart alecky about it, and you think that you're doing something brilliant or something, then your doubt can mushroom and grow and turn into other doubts and ultimately become serious disbelief and unbelief, and you can come back to the point where you no longer have faith, and that would be terrible. Well, in Thomas's case, he returns to a meeting of the disciples, And some days later, I think it was 8 days later, something like that, that he's there and Jesus reappears to the disciples again. In fact, he comes straight through the walls and the door. The room is all locked up, and yet there he is. He appears to them. And Thomas is there this time, and as a result, Jesus invites him to come and put his fingers in the nail prints and his hand in his side. And of course, then we see Thomas. No doubt he took the advantage of that moment, but I believe even before he did that, he probably said, "My Lord and my God." In other words, he saw. And Jesus kind of encourages him in one way, but he also reprimands him in another way. He says, "You know, now, Thomas, you're believing because you've seen. Blessed are those who believe even though they have not seen." In other words, there is a lesson to be learned here. Don't think that God has to come and individually show you himself. You know, some people pray for a miracle. They pray for something that'll cause them to come to faith and so on. Well, God is going to bring people to faith. He never turns anyone away. But it is a wonderful thing if you will accept God's word. Just accept the truth of his word. And the only way you can do that is if you have faith, and God will give you that faith. He will send his Holy Spirit to you. Now this doubting, if you have a doubt, and like I say, I wouldn't be too troubled by that doubt if you know what to do with it. You got to bring it to the Lord. You got to bring it to him and ask him to correct it. Ask him to give you the insight of the Holy Spirit so that you will know what to believe and firmly believe it. A lot of times when a doubt is resolved and when the problem is resolved, a lot of times your faith is even stronger there than it normally is. It's like grafting a branch into a tree. A lot of times that place where the graft took place and where that new growth is taking place is much stronger than the rest of the tree. And that's a beautiful analogy, a beautiful way of looking at your doubts when they are resolved. Now, I'm going to spend a little time on this subject here, and next week I'm going to tell you a story about a Mrs. Fredericks, someone that I met very early in my early days of ministry. And it's a beautiful illustration about how doubt was resolved in her life. I'll save that until next week because I want you to get the full story on the same program. And so I'm not going to start it here and then finish it next week. I'll give you the whole story next week. But I want to say a few more things about this doubting. When your faith is weak and you haven't communed for a while, you haven't been to church for a while, you haven't discussed the Bible in a Bible class, you haven't read the scriptures for weeks, your faith can become weak. You know, the quality of your faith is constantly either going up and growing and maturing in Christ, or you're drifting away. You're either going towards Satan or to God, one way or the other. You can't go both ways at one time. And so if your faith is dwindling and you feel spiritually weak, that's when doubts can really hamper your whole life. They can confuse you. They can trouble you. And when that's happening, you need to get back into God's word and into scripture and worship and Holy Communion. You need to make a devout effort, a sincere effort to stay strong in your faith. And the food that God feeds you with spiritually is his word and sacrament. And the problem is if you ignore that, you're going to get weaker and weaker. You've heard people say, "Well, I believe in Jesus, but I don't feel like going to church." Well, there's something very, very wrong with that, because you see, belief, if it's true saving faith, if it's a true faith, it's Jesus Christ living in you. And Jesus Christ living in you is the one that causes you to want to worship and to praise him, because you love him, because he's forgiven you. Now, if a person doesn't feel that love and doesn't feel that connection in a personal way with Jesus Christ, the chances are they're really not talking about saving faith. They're just talking about accepting or believing something historically. You know, everyone knows and believes that Jesus lived, obviously. I mean, that's like believing Napoleon lived, or that there was an Adolf Hitler, or that Julius Caesar was a ruler once upon this earth, and things like that you can believe historically. You can believe there is a Holy Land. You can believe that Jesus was born and so on. All these things you can believe, and that still is not saving faith. Obviously, that's not saving faith. Saving faith is a miracle. In fact, it's such a great miracle that the scriptures call it a second birth. They refer to it again as being born again. It is so dramatic. It is a miracle. And if you have saving faith in a personal relationship with Jesus, a relationship where you claim him as your personal friend and your Lord and Savior, and you believe that all of your sins have been taken away by his death upon the cross, and you believe that because he rose again from the dead, that you and I are going to rise again and that we're going to see him again and live with him eternally in heaven, that saving faith is the proof that Jesus lives in you and that your faith is real. And you will want to serve him. You will want to hear his word. You will want to study his word. You will want to worship him. You will want to receive the Lord's Supper for the assurance of your forgiveness. All of these things will be a result of true living faith in you. So if you don't have that desire and that longing, you better re-examine your faith. Make sure it's not merely a mental exercise of the human being. Make sure it is a divine gift, the miracle of conversion, the miracle of trusting in Jesus as your personal Savior. So when doubts come, take a look at your doubts. Are you encouraging your doubts by letting your faith get weak and anemic? Then you better get back into God's Word. Get others to pray for you. Encourage them to keep you constantly in their prayers. It's a beautiful thing to know, for instance, on this program, that I have many listeners that are praying continuously for me. I praise God for that, that they are praying for my health and that they want this message to go out to the world. Please pray for this program, The Word Today, and please tune in every week. And I hope next week you're looking forward to that story I'm going to tell you about a woman I met in my early ministry and how her doubt was resolved. May God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word Today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word Today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you. So visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word Today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word Today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word Today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word Today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.